Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello, and welcome to the latest installment of Borders Blatherings, the podcast.
Podcast. Oh, good. Yeah. What's this? Is it a new thing, are we?
Back to Morningside. the podcast where we shine a light on the curious, the shadowy, and often magical history of the Scottish borderlands. Now, notice what I did there, Mary. History. Scottish borders. So today, I thought we might have a good old blather about football or soccer for those people listening in North America. But how do you feel about that?
But Doug, there's no football in the borders.
You mean borders is rugby country?
Yes.
Soccer and rugger. But I know you're a big fan of football, yeah? Am I right? Coming from Glasgow in the West, you must be embroiled in the old Rangers versus Celtic rivalry, surely.
Can I just leave now? you're in the driver's seat today.
Why do I want to talk to you about football? Well, you'll be aware, I hope, that the Women's World Cup of Football has just finished.
I am indeed, and Spain won. Well done, Spain. And England lost. Commiserations to England.
Yeah, Spain managed to beat England in the final. Something which will have been a great disappointment for those south of the border, but apparently a great deal of joy for many of the Scots living north of the border.
Yes.
And I saw this with my very own eyes. You'll know we've had some French visitors here for a week or two. And we were up in Callander.
Oh, lovely.
You know the area where Hamish the Coup is?
Indeed,
the,
yes.
The coup that went into quarantine. And we stopped for a cup of coffee and a cake. And during our time there, obviously the World Cup final had just ended. And out poured about 35 Scottish people waving and singing and dancing with their Spanish flags. And our two friends from France got a little bit confused about what was going on. They're celebrating a defeat. I said, well, in a way, they are celebrating a defeat. The defeat of England.
Indeed, yes.
But let's not spend too much time on that. The reason I wanted to have a chat about football and women's football in particular, because of a particular lady from this part of the world, from down in the Scottish borders.
Okay.
A lady, Florence Dixie.
Florence Dixie, that's a cracking
name. Doesn't that sound
fantastic? Oh, I love that name.
And don't be confused by lady. You might be going, oh, a rich old patron of the soccer world. Not really. Lady Florence, we're back in, what, the 1850s, 1860s.
Okay,
At the start of this story. Lady Florence Dixie was really a bit of a pioneer and a nonconformist. She has been described as a writer. She wrote many things, children and adult books. A feminist. She was a war correspondent for a while. And was often described by those who were maybe not too enamoured with what she was doing as a bit of a tomboy. I suspect she was described as a tomboy because she participated in all of the things her brothers did.
Right, right.
which in the 1850s and 60s may have been frowned upon.
Absolutely.
Not knowing her place as a woman.
Well, this is true. We've talked about the ethos and morals of the Victorian era.
Absolutely that. You know, she was known to have, she rode astride her horse, not side saddle.
Scandalous.
How dare she? And although she took part in blood sports when she was younger, I suspect to just prove that she was up to the same level of skill as her brothers.
Okay. Were,
she later went on to disdain blood sports.
Oh, good for her.
And focused more on her belief that women and men were equal and should participate equally.
Yep.
So, in a sense, we're talking about her struggle, her uphill struggle to promote women's football.
Right.
And she really was an early pioneer in this. To be fair, to add a little bit of background to her, she did suffer a lot of grief in her childhood. Her father died when she was quite young. And one of her brothers died when he, at a particularly young age. Stories, I couldn't really find a definitive source. There is some evidence that her father may have committed suicide, but it's brushed under the carpet in a sense. One of the books she wrote called Gloriana was often described as a feminist fantasy. So we're talking about a feminist and non-conformist lady of Victorian era. For her, I believe, and you know we've talked about the Victorian background in a sense, I can use an idiom here. I think her promotion of football, it was an uphill struggle because she wasn't playing on a level playing field in a sense. So sorry to put that in. In around 1881 or so, she starts to promote women's football as a game. She's living in London by this time. Mm-hmm. She's educated in France. Family moved to London. She, by marriage, is related to A, Marquess of Queensberry.
Oh, wow.
But I'm not going to go down the boxing route, right, so don't panic. Okay. We'll stay with
one sport
football
at a time, please.
And while living in London, she arranges for a London women's football team to tour Scotland.
Right.
Now, what I did do out of interest was try and find some source material and press coverage of some of these football matches that took place. That was fascinating. That was very fascinating. It was mostly negative, as you can imagine.
Indeed.
Football was a man's game, and women had no business participating in that form of sport. Yep. What was interesting for me was the rather nuanced approach the newspapers took, which, given the current state of modern newspapers, with a lack of nuance, was interesting. In simple terms, if a woman played well in one of these matches and looked the part, conformed to the kind of Victorian image of a lady and a woman, maybe the beauty standard, the conformance, they might have been praised.
Right.
But bear in mind, football was a man's game. If a woman played well but did not conform to the standard of beauty and conformity of what a woman should be, they were often classified as a freak or a man in disguise. Which was a little bit strange for me. But you could see the pressure was on to try and prohibit football in the hands of,
And unfortunately, you still get comments in the press today about female athletes right the way across the board. And those who conform to modern concepts of beauty, we're falling all over them. And the girls who don't conform, well, you know, so unfortunately nothing has changed.
You'll find that not only in football, but you'll find that in tennis in particular.
Yeah. In any of the sports.
That a lot. Anyway, Lady Florence presses on with this desire to prove her point. And in 1895, she becomes president of the British Ladies Football Club.
Wow, as early as that?
Yeah. Now, that's interesting, because many people would not imagine that was happening. And she organises, I think, the first ladies' international football fixture between England and Scotland. And it was by looking at these that I managed to unearth a lot of the media coverage of what was going on.
I had no idea that women's football had started as early as that.
Well, it started that early, but there is pretty strong evidence that around the same time, the medical profession were getting together and suggesting that women should be banned.
Oh, here we go. What particular nonsense did they come up with?
Would
our wombs fall out if we ran too fast or something like this? Here we go.
So there was... She became president of this Ladies Football Association 1895, the year before. I found evidence of a report in a medical journal, 1894, suggesting that women should be prohibited from taking part in football. Yeah. So there you have it. It was all stacked against them. And in fact, if I remember correctly, by the early 1920s, the FA, the Football Association, banned women's football.
That's completely. So curious. Now, was that because of the rise of the suffragettes? The timing of that's really curious.
Exactly,
I would have thought women's football
exactly
would have started around about the 1920s, but for it to start earlier and then, of course, the suffragettes and they'd won the vote and that was maybe a tipping point. It was just gone too far.
You got it in one.
Wow.
Because Lady Florence is also a very keen supporter of the suffrage. So a little bit, is it similar? In the same way that Keir Starmer, in modern times, Keir Starmer's Sir plays against him in the so-called Red Wall.
Yes.
I think her Lady Florence and the fact she was a big supporter of the women's suffrage movement would have played against her.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on with that. And the ban, the FA-imposed ban on women's football lasted from early 1920s for a good 50 years.
What, until the 1970s?
Aha, yeah. So
wait a minute, we'd gone through the Second World War.
Yep.
When the lassies had gone into the munitions factories and done all the work and they were flying the RAF planes down and all of that.
Yeah.
And we've gone through the revolution of the alleged 1960s and the FA are still sitting there saying girls can't play football.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasoning was, what, our wombs would fall out? Or was that still the reasoning?
Hard for me to give you the reason because I can't see it.
I can't believe it was that late.
Yeah.
What year did the film Gregory's Girl come out? I do wonder. For those that don't know, this is a lovely little Scottish comedy.
Mm.
About a girl who plays in the boys' football team in the high school. And it is the funniest film ever. And there is a lovely scene in the film where the goalie is taken out.
Yeah.
Gregory is put in goals. And the young girl, Dee, is put in to play. And the goalkeeper is losing his mind and shouting that girls can't play football because... How can I put this politely? Parts of their anatomy get in the way. He was absolutely apoplectic, and it's the funniest scene. I do advise anybody to watch Gregory's Girl. It's a lovely, sweet little movie. I'm sure that
brilliant
film was out in the 70s.
It was indeed, yeah.
Time as the FA were saying, women couldn't play football. There you go.
It's very strange because this would have been a life's journey, you know, work for her to promote that.
Do we know whereabouts in the border she was from?
I believe the Dumfries and Galloway area.
Oh, Dumfries and Galloway side. Okay.
We're going a little bit to the western side of the borders. One fascinating thing for me, when she becomes president and puts on all of these matches, the captain... and a friend of hers is called You thought Florence Dixie was a good name.
Uh-huh.
How about this one? The captain of the visiting team was Nettie Honeyball.
You're making these names up.
No, I think they made that up as a very tongue-in-cheek name.
Oh, Nettie, that's Honeyball. Just brilliant.
Way before David Beckham's golden balls. It's beautiful. It's very tongue-in-cheek, but it's wonderful.
Yep.
It's wonderful. So they they had a sense of humour about what they were doing as well, I think. But back to feminism and football. You know the feminist saying, women don't owe men pretty. It always strikes a chord with me. Although I didn't see any or much of the Women's World Cup of football, I saw a few highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking ahead to the future of women's football. You hear people say it's come a long way. Yes, it has.
Yeah.
But what was interesting for me is in the few highlights that I did see, it seemed to me that money is beginning to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsorship and advertising will begin to take hold.
Yeah.
And things like time wasting, unwomanly, not ungentlemanly behavior, fouling, were starting to creep into the game.
Uh-huh.
So as the money continues to flow into the game of women's football, will it just take the wrong path and become just an alternative to men's?
Just so they would end up adopting, so it becomes just a female form of male football.
You got it.
As opposed to female football.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Arguing with the referee and things like that.
Yeah, because that makes good television.
There you have it.
That makes characters. Yeah. That makes a character. Oh, she's feisty and she argues with the ref or... Wasn't there one of the young women, and I don't know which team, who told the opposition to go away in a somewhat impolite term?
Uh-huh.
And everybody thought this was fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks it's brilliant that she did that. I'm thinking, really? So skill on the field or the hard work of your craft or being a supreme athlete.
Yeah.
No, we're not bothered about that. What we want is somebody telling somebody else to blank off.
You got it.
That's what we want.
And you're not turning in graves and all that thing, but while Florence Dixie is arguing and promoting an equality,
yes,
I don't think she would have conceived that they wanted to go down an equal road where the game is being run purely by the sponsors and the advertisers. Yeah.
You could have an equality whereby the males actually, the men's football actually adopted more of the female football attitude.
Exactly that, yeah.
You know, it's one of these things, you know, equality doesn't mean equaling down. It can mean equaling up. You can raise standards. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, with the amount of money and TV sponsorship that's in all sports,
yeah,
I think that ship has long sailed, unfortunately.
Well, the recent Women's World Cup, there were people who were arguing that sponsors hadn't really got behind it. I remember there was a little thing about the, what are they called, replica jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
And the English goalkeeper,
uh-huh,
Earps, I believe, and Nike had a bit of stromash because they weren't going to produce that. But I think once the marketing people see the potential in the market,
yes,
it's going to take that course. Will it end up just being another variation of the men's game? I don't know. There are football purists like myself who grew up with football who are a little bit saddened by the way that the dollar and the pound and the euro have taken over football.
As a non-football fan, I remember growing up in Glasgow, the local team to me was Rangers in Ibrox, hooray. And I grew up where the Rangers football team would practice, had a little bit of a practice field outside the actual, the actual stadium, the actual football ground. And they would do, and we would go along and watch them on like a Sunday afternoon. We would go and watch these lads who were, you know, the top of their game,
yeah,
playing on Sunday. And you could sit and watch the Rangers football team, mm-hmm, you know, all of the squad out there playing a match for free. Now, obviously, it was a practice match and they were doing various different things, but it was as good as watching a football match,
yeah,
for free. Mm-hmm. And then television arrived, and within 6 months, there was a 15-foot fence put up. Mm-hmm. And all the local kids who couldn't afford the ticket price anymore, who couldn't afford to buy the jerseys, who couldn't afford to buy all the stuff, mm-hmm, now couldn't even see that.
Yeah.
So the only thing they could do was watch it on the telly. That's all they could do. So that connection, that local connection went. I had a friend who was a children's nurse who worked in the sick kids hospital in Glasgow, and she can remember Danny McGrain, who was a player for Celtic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I think, I might be getting this wrong, but I think he had diabetes. Anyway, Danny McGrain would regularly come up to the hospital and visit the kids who'd been diagnosed with diabetes, basically to say to them, you can do anything. Look at me, I'm a footballer. And she says she remembers one time him going to see a wee boy who'd just been diagnosed. And the wee boy was very, very upset because he was a Rangers supporter.
He's a Rangers fan.
And he didn't want to speak to Danny McGrain because he was for Celtic.
Yeah.
But the point is, Danny McGrain came up to that hospital regularly on his own, mm-hmm, without an agent, without a photographer, without the press, without anybody. He just did that because he just did that. And that, I think, as a non-football person, I saw the change,
yeah,
when the big money, yeah, started to come,
yeah,
in.
Yeah.
And I realised that I can't dismantle capitalism, unfortunately, but it did mean there was a change. Those local connections,
yeah,
were cut.
Yeah.
That sense of being a community was cut. And I understand that some players weren't treated very well and they didn't get the wages that they should have got. But you've now got the, mm-hmm, stage where it's,
yeah,
it's so far the other direction.
Yeah.
That it's just a money-making machine now, as opposed to a sport that young men and young women with skill can play and entertain people with. It's now just money-making.
And the players you would have watched before the fence went up would have lived locally. They would have been local,
yes,
people.
Yes, I can remember as a teenager going to hang about outside Derek Johnson's house. I don't know,
oh,
quite,
yeah,
what Derek Johnson thought, the fact that half the teenage girls from the neighbourhood used to literally hang about outside his house. But we knew where he lived.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody knew, somebody knew somebody who was somebody's cousin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's such a shame. And if women's football is going to go down the same path, I think,
well,
that's disappointing.
Fear.
Because
yeah,
perhaps they might say, well, actually, no, we want to do things differently.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep in, because there are, here's my ignorance about football. There's the Premier Division and there are the lower divisions and there are different smaller leagues and things, aren't there, where,
oh, yeah,
like little local,
yeah,
teams play.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have maintained those local connections. I know there's one up the road, Bonnyrigg Rose, and they have a massive support, but they're not, you know, they're not in with the big guys.
Yeah.
And they
see the winners of the Junior Cup.
Are they?
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Well, there,
yeah,
you go.
Yeah.
Well
supported.
So, yeah. Yeah. And I think Gala Fairy Dean and Gala Shields is very well supported. So there are still, you know, that grassroots support.
Yeah.
And also it's the chance for, you know, local young lads and lassies to play a sport they love, cheered on by their friends and their family.
Yeah.
Which is surely what you want to do, rather than just be making money. And you hear about footballers being, you know, going to play for Real Madrid for, I don't know, silly money and all the rest of it. And you're thinking, do you have any connection with that city? Do you even know where it is on the map? I get that you're being offered silly money and a salary, but really? And your footballing career is such a short time.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
In terms of some balance, we talked about the money and the investment and so on. The fact that people from the UK are going abroad to play, and the fact that people are coming from abroad to play in the, especially the English Premier League, and to some extent in Scotland, that in a sense is a positive thing, because you're getting that mixture of cultures. You're getting a bit of transferable skill coming in,
right?
And that's a positive, my view. Mm-hmm. But there is no doubt, you see that in many of the top-level players now are being poached by Saudi Arabia, because they're starting a professional league.
Okay.
And they're just offering vast sums of money.
Right.
That I don't know, must cause a dilemma. One of the a former Liverpool captain, who was a supporter of LGBT rights, is now facing a lot of criticism for choosing to go to Saudi Arabia to finish his career.
Yes, where they are less tolerant of people that they deem are. Yes,
it's a bit Sophie's choice in a sense, but you can see that the money is just flowing in. So my wish is that women's football continues to grow and develop, but can somehow meet Lady Florence Dixie's original dream, which was just to put them on a level playing field, but not to copy the direction of travel that the men's game has taken.
Are girls encouraged to play football at school level? Is that still an issue of...
I think to some extent there's an acceptance there.
Because, of course, being very political now, I can remember, and you and I are old enough, all the playing fields that were sold off, where you can't play football other than at your school because there is nowhere for you to play. You know, so many playing fields and parks and everything were sold off in the late 80s. So, you know, if a group of girls want to get together and play football, where do they go? If a group of young lads want to go and play football, where do they go other than your school pitch? Which if the boys' team is dominating, when do the girls get on there to play if they want to? Or mixed teams, I don't know what you would have at school level, but I think you're right to encourage youngsters who have a skill, who have a passion for football, to be able to play it, and for girls to be encouraged to do that, and to, as you say, try and keep to Florence Dixie's vision, original vision.
Yes, yes.
Of being able to play and enjoy the game. Rather than, and yes, the top level people are being paid silly money. Well, that's at their level. But for ordinary folk to get that grassroots level of what it originally was. Because football sort of evolved out of things like handball and all these different sort of games that people had. And it was very much the sport of the people, ordinary people's sport. Because you don't really need much for football. A couple of jerseys down for your goals and a ball. And that's it. You can play football. Whether there's 10 of you or 20 of you or... Sorry, 22 is 11 in the football team. Oh, dear. Sorry, folks. But you know what I mean? You know, you don't need a lot of equipment. It's not like you need a basketball court and hoops, and you don't need a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You need a couple of jerseys and a ball and a couple of mates to play with.
Do you remember the Prawn Sandwiches Brigade quote?
No.
Roy Keane, Man United and Ireland. he was complaining about the corporate takeover of football and those corporate people sitting in the special stands during which he referred to as the Prawn Sandwiches Brigade.
Okay.
Because they were there for the show,
yeah,
but knew nothing about the game.
Exactly.
But Lady Florence Dixie, to get back to her, would have just been interested in equality in a sense.
Yes, yes.
The high school I went to, representatively, played rugby, cricket, and hockey. But I and my friends were not allowed to represent the school in football.
Oh.
It was a bit of snobbery, exclusivity. Yeah.
You obviously went to a posher school than me.
It was a pretend posh school.
Pretend posh school.
High school. And we were told, if you arrange a football match against another school, you are not allowed to wear the school uniform travelling to and from the match.
Wow.
Which was wonderful for us because we didn't want to wear the school uniform at all.
Yeah.
And it was deemed non-representative sport.
Ah.
Snobbery. So lack of equality there too.
Yeah.
You know?
At our school it was football for the boys and hockey and netball for the girls.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It wasn't assumed that the boys would even want to play anything other than football. And for those lads that didn't play football, they got a bit of a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
They got a bit of a hard time from some of the other kids. It was, you know.
Yeah.
But there was no question of a girl playing football. That was not what we were there for. We were absolutely not.
How long have you been in the Borders now?
20 years.
Oh, much longer than me. When you moved here, were you surprised to find that this was, in a sense, rugby country rather than football country?
No, I knew this was rugby
country.
You knew
that, yeah.
I mean, my tea times when I was growing up was listening to the football results. Stennismuir 0, Airdrie 2. Yeah. You know, this was announced, all these sorts of things. And the only team that I actually thought was in the Borders was Queen of the South, which of course isn't in the Borders. So, but I also remember the rugby and the wonderful, wonderful Bill McLaren and his amazing rugby commentary.
Mm.
You know, things like, you know, they'll be dancing in the streets of Hoyk tonight. So as far as I was concerned, the Borders were rugby country, not football country at all. Yeah. So when I moved down here and I discovered there were a couple of football teams, I was utterly amazed. who's watching that? But then I did, once I got to chat to people, I would then spot the buses going up to Edinburgh. And it seemed to be the Edinburgh teams that folk in the Borders supported, Hibs and Hearts.
Yeah.
Predominantly a few Rangers and Celtic supporters, but it was mostly Hibs and Hearts.
Yeah.
But no, I knew that rugby was, the Borders was rugby, Central Belt was football, and the Highlands, well, you had hurling and shinty and Gaelic and football and all sorts of exciting things up in the Gaeltacht. But as I say, when I discovered football down here, I was very surprised.
You picked on Stenhousemuir, and I remember the tea time results as well, where my dad would go, shh.
Oh, yeah, being shushed.
I'm marking my coupon.
Yes.
You wait a long time, but sometimes these results do come along.
Mm.
And once there was a football result, which was East 5-5. Farfar 4.
Uh-huh.
And you waited a long time for that one to come along.
Indeed.
Because of relegation and promotion and so on. So that maybe was a little bit of a cameo of Lady Florence Dixie.
Yes, I think
who
she's somebody
should be remembered now that the World Cup for ladies had just come and gone, as someone who really devoted much of her life to women's suffrage and to the promotion of all sport for women.
I might go out and dig out some of her writing as well and see what she was reading about and writing about and thinking about during her time. And as I say, I was stunned that you were talking about the late Victorian era. I just assumed, and for it to stop in the 20s and then not start again till the 1970s. You said the FA were still a bit iffy until the 1970s. Was that the Scottish Football Association is that the English?
That would be what became the Football Association. We have our own branch, the SFA, Scottish. Yep. It's a little bit like the relationship with devolved parents.
Okay.
There's a there's a British dimension, an English dimension, a Scottish dimension.
So did the Scottish Football Association accept female women's football any earlier or later or around at the same time?
I hate to say this.
Oh, no, it's later, isn't it?
But at a joint FA meeting, and I'm not sure, you know me in dates, I'm not very good, but the Scottish Football Association dragged its feet on the lifting of the ban, and often would vote against women being treated equally. So nothing to be proud of.
Absolutely not. Sense. However, I shall go away thinking of Florence Dixie and Nettie Honeyball,
which is such a fantastic name.
It is fantastic. And now I have learnt a lot about football.
Good. Thank you very much, Mary. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks.
Right. Bye for now.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.